Well, a man who is not quite as old as Ezekiel, but he lives in Israel. He lives in a place called Shiloh. It's in the center part of the state. It has a great history, a biblical background as well. And I'm talking about Winky Medad. He's kind of filling in for us, helping us out while David Dolan is over in Greece. We're so grateful for Winky doing that for us in our Middle East News update. Winky, thank you so very much. Let's get right to the issues that we want to discuss with you today. Jose Barroso, who is the president of the European Union Commission, made a visit to Israel. He also visited with the Palestinians, went over to Bethlehem to meet with Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority. But I want to ask you about this visit. I mean, it doesn't seem that this is the proper time for a European Union leader to come in. Did he have an ulterior motive, a special agenda, or was it a true visit, just wanting to visit the area?
Well, Jimmy, one really never knows with the Europeans. Unlike the United States, which doesn't have a strong consciousness of Islam as a potential competitor, both in the political, economic, and cultural fields, Europe is a different story. And sometimes American citizens don't really catch that. It's enough that they find it very difficult sometimes to understand these local Israeli-Arab conflict. But to see the Europeans sometimes act without any real reason or rhyme is a problem because of the very tremendous demographic presence of members of the Islamic faith in Europe. The dependence on too many of the countries on oil, and a very special, shall we say, pass that is given to this part of the world in the European theater. And therefore, you'll see them coming over on very minor issues. I mean, think of it this way, Jimmy. President Obama hasn't been to Israel since he was elected. Then why are all these Europeans falling over themselves sometimes, even causing traffic jams between Bethel and Ramallah trying to get in there in order to see? And therefore, that is one of the items here that we, as observers on the scene, find sometimes very simple, or we're very nonplussed about the European attention paid to the Palestinian Authority.
Well, this time he did not go into Ramallah, but instead he went into the Palestinian area there in Bethlehem, and he met with Mahmoud Abbas, telling him that the European Union was doing everything to prepare for a Palestinian state. So it seems that he has endorsed the idea of a Palestinian state and made it very well known to the Palestinian leaders at that time. And in fact, I think it was after that meeting that Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, met again with Barroso and said, you need to be more balanced in your approach to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I thought that was right out front from the Prime Minister. Did you not?
Absolutely, Jimmy. I should add, of course, for the elucidation of the situation for our listeners, the European Union is sinking millions of dollars into all sorts of various programs here. And they're doing their best to simply create a state of Palestine. It's just not happening because, as I have said several times on this program, I honestly don't think that there is something called the Palestinian people capable of establishing a separate identity of a Palestinian people that demands and needs a state. That was perhaps behind Mr. Netanyahu's little bit of a bring them up, if I could say it, that it's just a waste of time. If they want to create peace between Jews and Arabs, lowering the incitement of the Palestinian Authority, a little bit of religious freedom and expression, don't come down on their own bloggers and newspaper people, and get the Fatah and Hamas to make peace before turning around and doing anything else. That would be a very good EU contribution.
Yeah, good suggestion. I hope Jose Barroso, president of the European Commission, gets wind of that approach in this whole situation. Changing the subject just a little bit, there was a report released this week. A former Supreme Court justice there in Israel, he's retired, He issued a report called the Levy Report on the Jewish settlements, and it basically has come out for the Jewish settlers. They have a right to live there. They're not causing problems. And indeed, the Israeli government needs to prepare some laws to accommodate what's happening there. Is that a good analysis of what it actually said?
Well, Jimmy, you just caught me at the end of a week in which, despite the fact that I have no law degree, and therefore I make that clear that I'm not an academic or an expert, but if I'm able to read the Bible, I think I can get through a lot of other legal mumbo-jumbo. And the first report, as you pointed out, was the Levy Committee report. And if I could sum it up, we have lawyers who deal with something that does not exist, as Crawford and other people do, and ignore what does exist. And this deals with, of course, the Levy Report. And to make it as short and sweet as possible, international law in 1922 and continued throughout the United Nations after 48, it's in Article 80 of the UN Charter, continued to recognize something called the reconstitution of the Jewish national home in Palestine. That is the basis that Levy has built his report on, and therefore the Jordanian rule there was an illegal occupation. And when Israel came back in 67 as a result of a defensive war, we pick up where we left off back in 47. It doesn't mean that we have to keep on all the territories or otherwise, but it does mean that Jews have rights, like I, to build homes and live here in Shiloh. The other report says there's something supposed to be Palestine, and therefore we cannot do any of this. That's the easiest way I can explain the contradistinction between the two approaches of the EU on the one hand and the Levy Committee on the other.
Well, the Levy Report, according to the New York Times, is going to possibly bring about a war between the Jewish settlers out there and the Palestinians who want a homeland in that particular part of the world. And at the same time, the New York Times said that actually the Israelis took Judea and Samaria from the Jordanians in 67. That's totally wrong, is it not, according to history?
Well, of course. The New York Times is not one of the most, it may be a newsworthy journal, but it's not a very trustworthy one. They do get their facts wrong, and they do ignore things. Most of the land that Israel controls and administers post-67 was never registered as private ownership. And that's the basic fact that helps the Levy Report and puts off, of course, or bothers all those who want to see a Palestinian state.
You know, you made a very interesting statement just a moment ago when you said that you read the Bible. And that is key to this discussion in reality. Jose Barroso may tell the Palestinians they're going to have a Palestinian state. The Levy Report may tell everybody that the Jews have a right to live in Judea and Samaria. The world leaders may be opposed to that approach. But God's Word says that land belongs to the Jewish people, and ultimately one day, according to the Word, would you not agree, Winky, you will have that land. Jewish people promised by God to have that piece of real estate.
I cannot disagree with you. It's in the Bible, it's in the prophets, and as you know, there's even one prophet, Jeremiah, who gets involved in land transaction of ownership in order to, shall we say, highlight this Jewish natural religious divine right, which is part of our culture and is part of Judaic Christian culture, about the land of Israel and to whom it belongs.
Winky Medad, with our Middle East news update, looking at what's been happening in Israel within the last week and getting an analysis from an individual on the ground with a political background, media background, etc. Winky, always a joy to be able to talk with you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again real soon.
Jimmy, enjoy New York State, and thank you very much for having me, and goodbye to you and our listeners.